Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The NFL season is in full swing. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online.
Hey, I'll tell you who I'm not betting on this year, and that's my Ravens. I am so disappointed with them, Sal. What is going on with them? And they're playing the 10-0 Steelers this week. They got 19 COVID tests. That's the only thing that's been positive for them this year, so I'm not betting on them.
From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes, Benny.
So, Sal, head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today.
You're listening to PSI, the podcast,
with Benny Philhaber,
Sal Zito,
and Arco Para.
Enjoy!
But for me, Maradona was the guy. I mean, he is the best player to have ever played.
Okay, Sal, what do you really thought about me as a teammate?
I thought exactly what I've said. I've always thought you were a good...
And now, part two with Felipe Martins.
All right. So, let's move on. So from New York, you get traded to Vancouver. Talk about how that went down. I mean, knowing you know, you had a great time in New York. You know, Chris Armas was still the coach, someone who had a good relationship with you as well. Dennis was the GM, you know. What went down? Why did you get traded? Did you want to get traded? Any of that?
I think, you know, there's cycles that finish, you know, and I think one of the things was very hard always for me was, you know, all the players knowing how close I was with Jesse. And, you know, like, it was always difficult for me as well, you know, because everyone would say, oh, he's his son, you know, he is this and that. And at one point, you know, you want to also be out of your, you know, like comfort zone, you know, and I think that was always my goal. Always be out of my comfort zone to be better, to become better, you know, just to don't be better because you're in the perfect situation. But I think, going to Vancouver was one of my biggest mistakes, I made, you know, I knew that I would get traded. And I also knew that for many years, Carl Robson, he loved me, you know, he wanted me. So I actually said, you know, like, if it's for me to get traded, I want to go where someone that really wants me, and that I didn't know, because in this league, you don't know, you know, where it's, mm-hmm. that someone really wants you. And I really thought it would be a good thing for me, but I think that was one of my worst.
You didn't enjoy it there?
No, not at all. I didn't feel good from day one. You know, family, my wife just had the baby. She was 2 weeks. My baby was 2 weeks. You know, we did enjoy it there, and I was trying to get traded back to US. I tried my best.
Was it a US Canada type thing, or was it Vancouver philosophy kind of?
I think it was more, you know, the city, the way it rains a lot, you know, it's kind of dark. The family, when my wife and the kids didn't like it, was super hard to find a school.
It's tough on that.
I had to drive like an hour out of where I live to bring my son to school every day. So I would wake up, bring him to school in North Vancouver, and then comes back to training. And then after training, go another 45 minutes because of the traffic, get him and come back, you know, and I would get home. My wife would be the kids, with my others, little one. And then to go to Europe, it's like 15 hours flight for her mom to come to visit us. Everything was just the situation. I yeah. think, you know, if you talk about the club, it's actually a very nice setup. You know, they have a perfect facility. There is a lot of good people around the club. And it's just, you know, the style of play, I think, didn't match the way I am. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm more a kind of guy that needs to be aggressive, needs to be, you know, like in a different type of, you know, that always on, you know, like yeah. biting. And then they played more, sit back, you know, shifting defensive each, you know, like it's yeah. kind of like you have a lion inside a cage. You know what I mean? Like he's ready to bite, but he can't get out of the cage. So that's how I felt there. Okay. And, yes, I think come to DC, I think, was perfect for me because everything about DC and the way, Ben thinks and he was, I think was, perfect. Yeah. You know, the way DC.
He likes players like you. For sure.
Yes, exactly. And since day one, I felt amazing here. I still feel amazing. Hopefully I can stay next year. It's, still up in the air because, I'm on an option. But, if I am lucky enough to stay here and I hope that happens. Otherwise, you know, it's.
What's next? Otherwise, you want to stay in the MLS?
I want to stay in MLS. I really want to stay in MLS. You know, I feel really great. I think I'm going to come back stronger than before. And
you're still a baby, bro. You're 30 years old.
Yes. I just turned 30.
You got at least 5 more years in you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You got plenty of legs.
He's got tons of time.
Yeah. So obviously, I'm assuming that in your situation, it's a little bit tough as well with the option years that MLS has. And you guys don't have a coach right now, right? So that probably slows things down. I'm assuming that they're waiting to see who the coach is going to become until they start deciding, you know, option years for players. But there's a deadline, right? Isn't there a deadline around MLS Cup or something like that?
Yeah. I think it's on Monday, on the 30th.
Because Atlanta United just announced theirs, I saw. So it has to be coming up.
It must be coming up soon. So either way, I don't know if they'll have a coach by then, but it's a difficult situation for yourself, obviously, and for the team as well to kind of figure out all the option contracts without knowing who their coach is at this point.
Yes, and you know, I only controlling what I can, which is
of course.
As hard as I can. And you know, I show up every day in the stadium in weekends. You know, I even want to go to stay in tomorrow, but it's close. But so it's Thanksgiving.
So let me ask you this. I know you're an optimistic guy, so you're going to obviously give me an optimistic answer. But what I was going to ask you is DC hasn't been very good over the last few seasons. They weren't good this year. I mean, you guys, you know, obviously Ben lost his job because of it. What is something that you saw that you think you guys need to improve on in order to, you know, finally be back to the DC United of, you know, MLS past?
I think I really want to be here next year because I think next year going to be an amazing year for DC United. You know, I think after such a long time, you know, Ben has done so much for this club and I hope he's still around, you know, somehow, and doing some whatever it is around the club because he's the face of this club. And what he's done, you know, it's, you can't forget and you can't, deny. I think next year you have a really good base of players with a lot of qualities that, is already, you know, guaranteed for next year. And whoever comes to this club going to be very hungry to, after many years to put their philosophy to put their print on the players they have and the way they want to build. I think this club has an amazing fan base and a history that, you know, when you go on the field, you know, the responsibility of, you know, wearing this jersey and playing for this club. And I think the first thing that you need to build is everyone that comes to this team or guys who stays needs to be ready for the new beginning, for what it represents to be a DC United player. And, you know, and if I stay, and I always, you know, guys who is with me here know that I emphasize a lot on guys need to have responsibility because you need to create an identity. And this identity needs to carry this team to an MLS Cup or to a trophy that, you know, going to rebuild the confidence of the fans and of this club around the league. The respect needs to be back and it needs to be for yesterday, you know.
Hey, are you sure that you don't want to do an interview as the next coach there?
That's what he is interviewing for right now.
No, I tell my teammates the same thing. You know, when you step in this club, you need to understand what is the story behind this club, because many players just show up and in general, you know, without knowing what means to be a DC United player, you know, to a team that has won so many things. You need to know the story of this club, the players that play here, the way of and kind of players they play here, because fans remember those. And that's what they expect from you on the field. And that's our responsibility to be on the field and bring that joy and bring that confidence to the fans to come when they come to the stadium, they bring the energy and they make the outfield a different type of vibe for everything that comes here and play against us.
And I mean, DC United has a really storied history in MLS, obviously only 25 years of MLS, but I mean, they've won numerous championships, I think four, if I'm not mistaken, and they probably had the most success in the Americans championships, you know, South American. It was different. It wasn't Champions League back then. But if I'm not mistaken, when Bruce was there in 98, maybe I think they beat Vasco da Gama in the finals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've won some big things, along with MLS Cups and they're a storied franchise. So it'd be great to see DC United be back to, you know, what they've been in the past. So
yeah, that's why I think we have that responsibility. You know, I think it's up to us as a player to build that again. And, you know, you have enough players that, is being around, players with quality, players that, you know, can make a difference on the field. But up to us also to engage off the field and the way, you know, it's built around the club, the mentality that you make those young guys coming from the second team to the first team, what a type of mentality they gotta have. You know, when you show up on the locker room, what is to be a DC United player? You know, there's certain things and standards that needs to set the tone. And, you know, you need to make sure that all the players do that if you want to build something solid.
We'll be sure to send whoever's making the decisions at DC this audio clip, because I think they need to hear the type of info you're trying to give out right now. All right, is that it? Oh, let's bring up, you know, obviously, rest in peace, Diego Maradona, soccer god, legend, passed away today at 6 years old. You know, did he have obviously he had an impact on the game of soccer and probably everybody's lives, but Felipe, did he, you know, was he someone special to you, you know, growing up or just being in soccer?
To be fair, I just got the worst part of him. You know, I think, you know, like the way he was on the field, you know, the way he fought for his national team, you know, the way he represented Argentina outside, you know, the type of player that, you know, he always stand up for himself and for his teammates. And that's
passion,
what I always,
the passion he had,
the passion he had. I know even after when he was a coach, when he watching his, you know, his documentary, you know, when he's at the stadium with the fans, I think that's what I got from him, that energy, you know. I think, that is something that, he really lived for us. And
He will be missed.
Yeah, I mean, like I'll add to that as well, just because it's I'm a Brazilian, Felipe. We're Brazilian. Argentina is supposed to be, you know, the biggest rival, and I've always said this is pre Lionel Messi and pre Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes,
but for me, Maradona, watching game tapes of him, obviously we're a little bit younger than when he was at his prime, so we didn't get to watch him. We didn't get to watch Pele, I'd even throw Garrincha in there as well. But for me, Maradona was the guy. I mean, he is the best player to have ever played pre-Lionel Messi, pre-Cristiano Ronaldo. And so he was special. The way he played, the way he made the ball stick to his foot, the way he dribbled. I mean,
he was transcending. He really was.
And you would watch, you'd literally just watch some of those. I'm sure we've all seen it. The videos of him warming up and just juggling the ball in the middle of the field. And it looks like the ball's on a string. It doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, we're just staring at YouTube videos at that point and being mesmerized by it. And so he was somebody very special. I'm sure we've all seen the documentaries, the good and the bad of Diego Maradona, but he was a fantastic player. And it's only since, you know, Lionel Messi for me is the best player of all time in all of history. And Ronaldo is right below Messi, but, Maradona was that guy as I was growing up, the best guy that I've ever seen play the game. So it was always special to follow him through the goods and the bad times. And obviously, you know, a really sad day in the world of soccer. And
you got to respect him because, you know, no matter each situation he was always himself. And a guy like that, you got to respect even more, you know, because, you know, doesn't matter where he was with national team or in Italy, in Napoli, whatever he was himself. You know, and I think for that, you need to be, you got to respect and, you know, he'll be missed.
And I'll say one more thing about Diego Maradona. Unbelievable. I think he is probably the only player I've ever seen make such a big difference to bad teams. Napoli was a bad team when he went there. Argentina Juniors before he went to Boca was a bad team. He made those teams amazing champions. And so, I mean, Messi for me is, you know, superhuman, but he's played on Barcelona through some of the best teams I've ever seen. You know, Barcelona is one of the best teams when he played with, when it was Ronaldinho and Eto, then with, you know, Iniesta, Xavi. I mean, those teams are ridiculous, you know, and so Messi was part of some fantastic teams, but Maradona would change a terrible team and make him champion. So something that you just don't see very often.
Yeah. And I just was watching the Italian channel and they want to change the San Paolo,
the stadium,
Diego Armando Maradona.
Yeah. I saw that. They probably will. I mean, probably should.
Yeah. No, I even talked to Antonio Nocerino. He's a huge, big friend of mine and he's from Napoli. He texted me. He said, like, for me, it's like I lost a parent.
You know, like, I'm sure some people from Napoli all feel the same way. So
It's great.
For sure. If you're a follower of BSI, the podcast, and you're a follower of States Soccer Brand, they've been one of our biggest sponsors to date, and we love them to death. This holiday season, they're going to have a pop-up store for all you KC locals at the Plaza this Friday, running all the way through the holiday season.
Yeah, and you guys know I love my States gear. It's honestly the most comfortable clothing. If I could wear it every day, I would.
You're wearing it right now, Sal.
I am wearing it right now.
You don't even have to sell it. You just have to show it. So I love that. And look, support small businesses. I mean, they're one of the best. And during this, you know, pandemic time, it's one of the moments that we need to do that. And so make sure you show your love in KC and go check them out. Support small business out in the Plaza. And for exact directions on how to get there, check out State's Instagram for the specific location on 47th Street.
The Plaza lights always make for a great holiday shopping experience, so check them out. All right, are we ready to move on to plead the fifth, Benny?
Let's do it, dude.
All right. So, Benny, you can ask the first one. Again, we never mentioned it, but we normally Ike is doing this. He's not here with us today. So we're going to do our best attempt at it. So basically, we're going to ask you five questions. Benny's going to ask you three. I'm going to ask you two. You can plead the fifth once, which you've already said you're not going to. So, and then if you answer all five, you can ask us one question that we have to answer. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right, Benny.
And by the way, take into consideration. I was just adding, take into consideration that these questions are coming straight from Ike Opara, mostly.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to know.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
Your seat's going to get hot. Strap in. Here we go. First question. Since you're one of, if not the most hated player in MLS, which player do you think you would want to body slam, or sorry, which player do you think would want to body slam you the most?
Ooh, you know, obviously I'm happy and I want to thank you all the people who voted me all those years. And I think one of the guys who would love to body with me and crash me. Oh, there's many guys, but I don't know. I think Josie Altidore is up there. Josie's out there.
So the hatred is mutual. You hate him and he hates you.
I think Parkus, you know, who got
here. Really?
I think he's up there as well.
Is that true, Sal?
Who?
Michael Parkhurst?
Yes.
Oh, Sal, do you know if he hated him?
I've never heard like a personal vendetta or anything about
it. Just, you know the feeling when you're on the field and you know guys like salute you and it's just like,
that's funny. Like, just because Parky's usually such
normally doesn't
say mellow guy
to anyone. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think Will Trapp.
Okay.
Yes. How many more?
What about Patrick Vieira? What do you?
I would go 2 foot on him.
If you guys don't know the story, when Felipe was walking out of the tunnel after the, I don't know if it was a 7-0 victory game, but Patrick Vieira threatened to break his legs.
Yes.
And I was there, and it almost sparked a fight, but. He wasn't too happy.
Can you believe that, Benny? Saul stand up for myself?
Yeah.
Did you, Saul?
Yeah, I put Patrick Bear up against the wall. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't touch him, but I did grab Felipe and get him the hell out of there. So.
And only because I said New York is red in front of the locker room. I think it wasn't.
To be fair, New York was red for many years, so.
I mean, let's be real. Like, he was pretty pissed that, you know, it was a 7-0 game, and I'm sure he said anything and it would have set him off at that point. So.
After that game, New York was dark red, dude.
Sometimes I make fun of.
There was blood on the streets.
Sometimes with Fred Breland, you know, he was on that 7 year. So.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, next one.
All right. Good. Now my turn. All okay. Right. Rank these coaches from the worst to first. Okay. Jesse Marsh, Mark Dos Santos, Marco Schalibaum, and Frank Klopas.
Okay, Mark Schalibaum
is the worst, or the
worst? Mark Schalibaum is the
worst.
Okay.
Wait, but by the way, this is the now I figured out the story that Ike wanted me to bring up about Marco Schalibaum. He was the coach one time when we played Montreal in Kansas City, and there was this little old lady. That was, she honestly must have been like 75 years old, and she was in the front row right behind their bench. And Schalibaum was like yelling at the refs and yelling at our bench and like doing a bunch of stuff. Like we were like crushing you guys pretty good, at least outplaying you guys. And she's like just pestering him. And Schalibaum turns around like, Fucky, the little old lady.
Yeah, that's him.
And it was, and I was on the bench. I'd been subbed out of the game, and this was towards the end of the game. And I'm just like, this little old lady just got told, and she gave one back. No, fucky. And it was, oh my God, Marco Schalibaum cussing out the fans. Incredible. So I'm glad you voted him last.
Mark Schalibaum last, Mark Dos Santos, Flank Coppas, and Jesse.
Okay. All right, that was pretty simple for him.
We had Mark Dos Santos as well. We had Mark Dos Santos at Kansas City, so I got to know him a little bit, and LAFC. So I really enjoyed him, but as a head coach, he hasn't done well in Vancouver. So as an assistant coach in LAFC, I loved him. I thought he was great.
No, I think he knows a lot about.
Yeah, no, he definitely understands the game. I was surprised actually when he went to Vancouver and didn't have more success. He changed the whole team, and in MLS. In my opinion, you can't change the whole team. You can't bring 20 new players in one year. It's just not going to it's not going to work. But I thought maybe he had a plan, but it didn't look good from the get-go. And this year, you know, there's been issues with COVID and all that stuff, but again, the team is not great.
Yes, I think, you know, like especially with me, I respect him a ton. I just couldn't figure out, you know, like exactly what he wanted from yeah. me. You know, I think, and I didn't fit the way his style of play wants to play. And that's end of story. You know, I still respect him a lot. And
of course,
it's just the way I feel.
All right, third question. These are too easy. Of course, he's going to answer all these questions. Yeah, man, we got to give him some harder questions here. But so this is during your time at Red Bull with Jesse Marsh. Out of all the players on the team, who was the most influential player during that time period? So most important player, most influential during that time period.
So to be honest with you, you know, is one of the players I had the most beef, you know, every training was Dax McCart. And, you know, we always fought because he's a super competitive guy. But I think him and Sasha was the two most influential players on the team. You can say equally, you know, because they really, you know, with their experience, with the way they are, and they really help the team to grow. And, you know, Dax is one of my favorite players I ever played with. You know, playing with him was super easy and I felt super comfortable. And actually, I didn't have a great relationship with him because we were always, you know, like getting to each other in training, but you know, I respect him so much, and on the field we understood each other so well.
And whenever somebody asked me who would you hate to go up against in games, it was Dax, because this guy, he always seemed to know what I wanted to do. He'd always take it away, you know, and not allow me to do it. And he, I mean, like I said, I had some as a team, we tended to beat New York Red Bulls, but I usually didn't have great performances. So a lot of times because of you three in the middle.
No, I was great. It was a great time with Sasha as well, you know, but I think if you have to choose, it would be Dex.
Yeah.
Okay. Question four. So in your former toy room, now your gym, your picture this, you're putting a new punching bag in there. Okay. You get to print a face of a former teammate that you've had. Whose face are you putting teammate. On there? Yeah. Whose face are you former putting on teammate. The punching bag?
Wow. I'm going to answer that. Don't worry. Let me just think, because there is a bunch of them, you know, that I could put up there. Someone that I could punch. Wow. Who are you going to put up there? Former teammates. That's
in the MLS. Let me clarify that.
Oh, in MLS. Okay,
just name some guy in Italy that we don't know.
that would be something interesting. You know, like I'm now.
Oh, but, also, and why? And why? Like, why would you put this player up?
Why would put this player up? Okay. Why would punch? It's difficult. It's not easy.
Yeah.
This one, former
just team. Imagine this, Felipe. You're trying to rehab right now, and instead of letting your kids play in the playroom, you got a gym in there. And so every day, motivation for you to get back to your fitness, you're kicking someone right in the face. Who's the picture that you put on that?
I think Sean Davis. In my experience, right now, I'm going to explain why. Because I spent many years with him, you know, like we are good playing, you know, together. And then all of a sudden, every time we play against Chad, he almost didn't even say hello to me. Yeah. You know, so, and that pissed me off. He actually sent me a nice message, when I got hurt. And I don't understand why when you see me, you don't say hello. And then you send me a nice message. You know, that's why I would put him face there. And Danny Royer. It's just.
You'd have a double-sided punching bag.
Yeah.
Sean Davis and Danny Royer. You know,
half of them.
Okay.
Danny, I would be there because I don't know. I just never.
They bug you?
He bothered me, you know, especially now.
It's like Sal with Anton Tinnerholm. Yeah. It's just his face, you know? Yeah. No reason why, just his face.
Put those two guys up there.
All right, well done. All right, last question. And I'm going to change this up a little bit because Nino's question that he sent me is just almost the same thing. So Sal, you're going to have to help me out here. Okay. Tell me.
You guys start to understand that you guys got to answer one question for me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's no problem. Sal, help me out with this.
Yeah, what's up?
Supporter Shield year that you guys won with your best team. That was 2015.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me the starting 11. Like if you had to tell me who the starting 11 for that entire year, who would it be? I'm leading up to my question. So Sal, can you help me out here?
Oh, you want me to start? Okay. 11? I was at right back, Miazga and Damian Parnell at center back. Left back was Kamar Lawrence. Center mids were Felipe, Sasha, Dax. Up top was Bradley Wright Phillips. And then you had Gurella on one wing. And then
Lloyd Sam
on the other wing. Yeah.
And Robles?
And yes. Robles, yeah.
Okay. This is the question. And this is football, not who you like and who you don't like. Football. You have to take one of those players out of your team and you have to add somebody that played or has played for NYCFC.
So what was the defense?
It was me, Miazga, Parnell, and Kamar.
Okay, I'll take Parnell out.
Okay, and who are you putting on from NYCFC?
I would put their defense was Fred Brilliant.
Callens, right?
Callens. Yeah, you take out Perinel and you put Callens there.
Okay. All right. That was too easy. I thought it was going to be harder. Well done.
He just answered it like
You've breezed through our plead the fifth. Well done. And as
I will never plead the fifth.
As a full-time 5 out of 5 participant, you get to ask one of us or both of us any question that you choose. So go ahead.
Okay, so what do you really thought about me as a teammate?
I thought exactly what I've said. I've always thought you were a good teammate on the field. It's one of those guys, in my opinion, who you want on your team, but when you play against you, you hate playing against them, right? But that goes into like training as well. Like you hated being against you in training, but then at the same time, sometimes you were even worse to players that you were on their team with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how guys would always say, fuck, I hope Jesse's not on my team today because he's always going to like get on me. So Felipe was the same way. Although Felipe, I will say, you knew how to get under certain people's skin, but you never really had a go at me. And I think you knew that having a go at me wouldn't necessarily motivate the type of guy I am. So I think there's always like with you, there's a sense of like you know how to kind of manage every player and how to go at certain people, you know. Like with me, you never really ever said, wow, what the hell? Pick it up, you know, because you knew maybe for me it wouldn't help me. But maybe a guy like Aurelien Collin, you would have a go at him.
He's one of my best friends in soccer.
But that's also his personality. It would make him a better player. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know,
Press the right buttons, right?
Yeah. And for me, I always kind of knew the type of guy you were. And I'm, you know me, I never take anything personal from anyone. Yeah. So for me, I liked you as a teammate, but I will say there are certain guys that, you know, had a tougher go than me with you.
Yeah. I think at that time, the biggest thing that, you know, guys didn't like is that I didn't take shit from anybody and I didn't care who it is and the way you talk to me, you know, like I just was.
But I think you knew I always respected you and maybe that led to you talking to me a certain way. But maybe when some guys talk to you a certain way, you get a certain vibe and maybe that led to you having somewhat of a tiff with some of these guys.
Yeah. I think you were. You know, those guys like always understood me better. And that's why I always respect you, you know, since day one. You know, I never had anything with you. It's just, you know, the way I am. But I have to tell you, I've grown a lot. And if I could go back to that, you know, have the mentality and the head I have now, be the person I am now,
yeah,
at that time would be a different story. You know, that's why I told you that I understood certain things really late. And then if I could go back differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got one for me too?
Yes, Benny, let's go. Look, Benny, he's like this.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. What do you think it's Mark dos Santos quality and what he's not good?
In terms of his quality, I think that he understands the game. I mean, he, as an assistant coach, obviously he's not the one making all the decisions, but I always had conversations with him and he sees the game similar to how I see it. Now, having said that, he was at Kansas City and we were always a good team. So we had the players to play the right way, the way that I like to play, the way that he talked to me about. And at LAFC, we had fantastic players as well. So we were always on the front foot. We wanted to play the right way. We wanted to have the ball at our feet. You know, in terms of, you know, playing, Bob's always preached to play like Barcelona. He wants to play like Barcelona, be the Barcelona of MLS. And so it was easy to talk about that. And the weakness or the thing that I don't think he's done well is obviously something that I've seen from afar. So it has to be taken with a grain of salt, but I don't think he built the team the right way. You know, and for example, yourself, if he wants to play the way that Vancouver has played, that was my dog, by the way, coughing over here. But if he wants to play the way that we've seen Vancouver play over the last 2 years, which is more reserved, sit back, attack off the counterattack, absorb pressure, you're probably not the greatest signing. You're a guy, like you said, a pit bull that wants to go chase the ball, win the ball, create turnovers, which fit in perfectly to how the Red Bulls played. And so, you know, in order to play that way, you probably want to get players that fit into that system a little bit better. And I'm sure he'll say, I'm going to get there eventually, right? We'll see. He's been there for 2 years. It hasn't developed into something great yet, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because I do think that he sees the game the right way. And I think he's a good coach. So we'll see. But it obviously, in terms of results, it hasn't panned out over the last 2 years.
Maybe he's going to pull a Jim Curtin and just get like 7 years and then finally figure it out.
Although, as much as Jim Curtin, I think, has done a great job with Philly over the last few years, in my opinion, and I said this last time, no chance he should have been coach of the year. I think he's done a good job, but it's over a long process. What Oscar Pereja did this year.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders better than any other coach. I mean, he took a team that has been perennially a bad team, has never made it to the playoffs, and he made them a really good team this year. I mean, it wasn't just results. You could see they played much better. I mean, how much more effective was Nani this year? And so, yeah, Pereja should have been it. But Jim Curtin's obviously done something good. I think he's more in the mold of like the Bruce Arena, where the guys like him. They like to play for him. They play for the coach, but man, that was a terrible performance the other night against New England. That was terrible. So that's all I have to say about that one.
All right. Good.
All right.
Good questions, Felipe.
Yeah. Felipe, appreciate you getting on. You still look young, which is good. I know I look older, but.
Dude, Felipe's still a baby, bro. He's barely 30.
Yeah.
Guys, you guys going to be the 2021 version of Felipe.
That's what we like to hear.
Good luck to you, dude.
Yeah.
Good luck with the rest of your rehab and your contract situation. I'm sure we'll see whether it's with DC or another team next year. We'll be watching. And I'm sure that some of the people that hate you out there, maybe they've become a little bit more fans of you today.
I think, you know, they made their head already. You
know, or they hate you more. Yeah.
I think
every second.
They might hate me more, you know, like because I have the answer right away. They're going to say that, you know, like, why his answer is so quick? You know, like they always, you know, that type of guy that they got to say, like, oh, I'm going to hate him either way. So I think that's me.
There you go.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. All appreciate right.
Felipe,
thanks for coming on, dude. And we'll, good luck in the offseason.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Felipe Martins, for showing up today with us and obviously being as honest as anyone's ever been. And we love that. We love honesty.
Yeah. Do you think people are going to hate him more or less now?
I actually think they're going to hate him less, dude. I mean, I hate him less. I think he was always a guy that was nice to me. So I didn't hate him as much as probably some other guys, but sometimes you watch him in games and you're like, man, that guy take a chill pill and like relax a little bit and, you know, whatever. But I think he is the kind of guy that he is. He owns up to it. And I respect him a lot more now than I ever did before because of the story that he's kind of had in his life and the way that he's come through it all and his mentality.
Yeah. I think you gotta understand where people come from in their life. And I feel like, getting a little glimpse of his early life, even from when he was 10 to 15 years old, kind of like we talked about, molds you into the person he is. And whether it's good or bad, it's gotten him to where he is. So, yeah, he's got some thick skin for sure.
Yeah, no, good guy. I like talking to him. Obviously, there's so many of those guys that are just assholes on the field, but they're great guys off of it. And Felipe Martins, I think he loves that he's one of those people. So, I'm obviously looking forward to seeing where he ends up next year. I hope it is DC. I'd love to see if DC can actually turn it around. But I think he's a good guy for that franchise.
Yep. So with that being said, thanks again. 2020 was a crazy one. Appreciate all the fans and thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Extra Time Radio to find their next guest now that we're not, you know, having the next one for this year. So that should be interesting as well. But no, we love Extra Time Radio and Andrew Wiebe always still in our guests, but it's all good. We love them. I think they still like us, but we've enjoyed every minute of this.
We actually never clarified. So we,
that's true. We'll figure it out. But to our Patreons, we really appreciate everything that you've done for us and supported us. And as we said in the intro, be on the lookout for a message that we'll send out to all our big time Patreons for figuring out what gear that you guys want in the BSI store. So I think that's all that we got, Sal. Anything else to wrap it up?
Nah, that's good. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you next year. Hopefully 2021 is better than 2020.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.